You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
While I was preparing for the show, I found a wonderful quote on our guest's website. This is a message that would be a perfect way to introduce him. And what it says is this: I founded Be Well on the life-changing principle that restoring internal balance is the key to improving everyday health. My method is simple: remove what is harmful and add in what is beneficial. My goal is to help you take charge of your health and to feel better than ever. Now, this is a direct message from Dr. Frank Lipman. He's a thought leader, international recognized expert in the field of integrative and functional medicine, and author of a new book, How to Be Well, The 6 Keys to a Happy, Healthy Life. He's here to share his secrets for lifelong vitality and by following what he called the good medicine mandala. Welcome to Wellness for Life, Dr. Lipman. Thanks so much for being on our show today. Now, you've written several books, such as the new Healthy Rules, 10 Reasons You Feel Old and Get Fat, How to Be Well. Now, what's the difference? How is this book different from the others?
Well, this book is not a linear program. It's what I call a no-program program. It's sort of, I work with this mandala, circular mandala. It's got over 100 tips, and you can enter at any point. So you can start anywhere you want and go at your own speed. And you can, you know, make your changes whenever and however you want. So the information is probably similar, except this is much more comprehensive, but the presentation is different. And also it's beautifully illustrated. So it's very accessible for people. And it's really trying to get people to become the authors of their own journeys, of their own health story, and to take charge of their health, as you said in an earlier quote of mine.
Absolutely. You know, you use the word mandala. It's mandala, right? And mandala. A lot of our listeners may not know actually what that means. Can you please give us a definition of what mandala means?
Sure. So a mandala is a symbol used in many wisdom traditions around the world, especially in the Eastern traditions. And it almost always is a circle and represents wholeness and potential and the infinite. It sort of represents the unknowable and the eternal, and suggests that we're all part of this universe. And as such, it's used in these sacred practices, or it's used as a tool for establishing a sacred practice, especially in these Eastern traditions. For instance, they deploy it in practices of meditation as a focal point of contemplation, just to gain awareness of yourself. And that's what I do in the book. I create this mandala for what I call the new map for a new era of medicine. So people can have something to meditate on, to contemplate on how they themselves can take charge of their health and get well. So I use it as a symbol and as a blueprint in a way for someone to take charge of their health.
Thanks again for giving me a copy of your book. What I love about the book, first of all, is all the colors. And for someone like me that just doesn't want to read just words, right? The colors and how you've designed this book has been, it's more like a guidebook to me. You know what I mean? It's not like the typical health book. It's more like a guidebook. And the fact that you can go into in any situation, you can start it from the back if you want. You don't have to go from the front. You can start it from the back. And wherever you put yourself in, you'll be able to use that right away.
Yep, exactly. It was meant to be a guidebook and to, yeah, you nailed it. You can start at the back. You can start anywhere. In fact, even at the back, I have a separate section, what to do when, what to do when you can't poop, what to do when you're tired, what to do when you bloated. So, yeah, I added that on as well. But, yes, you can go, you can enter anywhere in the book and start wherever you want.
Right, right. What the mandala to me looks like, because there's a visual there too, is basically it's like a ring of wellness. It's just this whole circular ring of wellness, and that's what you're implementing. I think what a lot of us and our listeners, we all know a lot of information. We've heard so many podcasts. We read so much. There's millions of books out there on healthy and how to take care of yourself. But what I found that with your book was that it really made it easy for everyone that anyone can use. A child can even look at it just from the pictures and know what you can do to get yourself started in creating wellness and vitality.
Right. No, thank you. Yeah, that's what I try to do. I just try to make it very accessible for people because there's people don't have time today, and you know, we don't have time, and there's so much information. It's like the Wild West of wellness. So the idea was to take information that I knew was solid, something I, you know, I've been doing this for over 30 years, to take this information, put it into a book where it's very accessible for people, so people can just go to it and trust it, hopefully, and use that information. It's a real how-to book. It's not, because you know, patients come to me all the time, and they're not interested in why they have to do something. They want to know what to do and how to do it. So this book was addresses
Great.
Those needs.
Well, let's jump right in because when I talk to our guests, I'm always talking about what are the benefits. Tell us the solutions. I'd like to know what can we do today. And in your Good Medicine Mandala, you give us that there's six pillars that we can do right away. And that's going to be the essentials of vital health. Tell us the first one.
Yep. So the six pillars are what I think the key sort of building blocks to health, the six main areas: how to eat, how to sleep, how to move, how to protect oneself from all the chemicals out there, how to unwind or relax, and how to connect with oneself, with our community and family, and how to connect with the world at large. So I divided it up into those six aspects of health.
Well, you made it quite easy. I guess when I look at all those, of course, I look at, you know, the basics of life. These are things that we all need to do. We talk about it, but a lot of us don't implement it. Often we implement one area only, you know, because
you practice,
it's got to be all about food and I've got to change it and I've got to make sure there's no more lectins in my food and watch on the histamines and oxalates, whatever. And they kind of forget about everything else. And what you're saying is that you need to target at every level. So the first
Right. And also to remember that the ordinary actions that we take on a daily basis have extraordinary benefits to our health, you know, from going for a walk in the forest or on the beach, being kind to someone, sitting around a table with your friends and family, being grateful, listening to music, breathing. So there's so many little things that we take for granted that actually can have huge benefits to our health. It's not just about what you eat, which is very important, and how you sleep, which is essential, all the above, but it's those little actions that you can take that make a huge difference.
Great. You know, starting from your first one, eat. What shall we eat? And there's so many books out there. So what do you think is a perfect plate?
Well, right. So, I came up with a perfect plate because I don't think there's one right diet for everyone. Some people do well on a vegan diet. Not that many, but some do. A lot of people do well on a Mediterranean or a paleo diet. But I think there's no one right diet. And as you get older, I think more and more people tend to do better on a low carb type of a paleo diet because they tend to become more carbohydrate sensitive as they get older. But when I talk about the perfect plate, I'm just trying to give people an image and how to think about their food. Instead of counting calories and counting anything, it's like just see your plate as about 70% of these green leafy vegetables and cruciferous vegetables. So 70% carbohydrates, 10 to 20% of protein and 10 to 20% of fat. But just try, you know, your the bulk of your plate, your main plate should be your side plate, which is the salad, and your side plate, which is often seen as the main plate, should be your main plate. So that's your protein. And I'm not against animal protein. I think it's the source of the protein that's important. So, you know, fats, you know, we all talk about good fats and bad fats and everyone's scared of fats, although that's changing. Fats made by God or fats in nature are good for you. Fats made by man are probably not. So healthy natural fats, whether they come from animals or plants, are, I believe, healthy for most people.
Okay, so we got that set. What's the next pillar, next key to a happy, healthy life?
The next key is sleep. And most of us forget about how important sleep is, but sleep is when our bodies restore. And, you know, if you don't get enough sleep, all sorts of things happen from, you know, triggering some inflammation and over time, long-term chronic problems to gaining weight. So, and another really important part of sleep, which we all forget, is, you know, in our brain, we have something called the glymphatic system, which is sort of a natural cleaning system, a natural detoxification system of the brain. So during the day, your brain creates all these, you know, breakdown products from chemicals to keep you sharp and active. And at night, we have this cleaning crew that goes in there and cleans it all out. And if you don't sleep, you don't clean out those chemicals and those toxins. And it's like having a party one night and the next morning you don't clean up, and you have a party the next night and the next morning you don't clean up. After a few days, your room is in a mess. So it's important to have that cleaning crew work every night to clean out all those toxins. And if you're not sleeping, that glymphatic system, that cleaning crew is not going to work so well. So sleep is important for every aspect of your life.
Well, I'm a sleep connoisseur. About 7 years ago, I had a terrible head and brain injury. And after that, my sleep went totally off kilter. So I've been working on sleep, and I'm still working on sleep, although I get much better sleep. I'd like a couple of your favorite ways to make sure you get deep sleep.
Well, I'll give you one that not too many people talk about. The important thing about sleep is to see it as a normal body rhythm. And it's as important as what you do at night is what you do during the day. So, you know, if you're sitting under artificial lights all day and you don't go outside and get some natural light, the chances are you're not going to sleep as well. So get outside, go for a walk in the morning, just get some bright light. If you're stressed out during the day, there's more chance you're going to have some negative effect at night and you won't sleep as well. So I'm a big fan of meditation, or doing some type of breathing technique, some relaxation during the day to help you sleep at night. And then, you know, it's very hard to go from go, go, go to just stop, which most of us do. So we'll be very busy and we expect to just pass out on the bed and sleep well. I think it's important to have a transition time. And that includes getting off the computer, you know, all the blue light from technology and your computers and your cell phone and iPads and everything affects your sleep too. So I talk about an electronic sundown. Switch off all your gadgets at 9 o'clock and, you know, give yourself another hour where you can dim the light, listen to some relaxation or some music to relax and have a hot bath or any transition between your active life and sleep. And then most important at night is to have your room pitch dark, because any bit of light is going to affect your sleep, because it inhibits your body's own production of melatonin, which is the sleep hormone. So have your room as dark as possible. And if you can't do that, just buy an eye mask.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for all those. You know, what I find is that exercise really helps.
Thank you. Yep.
Yes, which is your third key.
Great tip. Absolutely. Exercise during the day is incredibly helpful for sleep. Yeah. And that's the third key. And I call it moving rather than exercising, because you don't necessarily have to go to the gym. Just find a movement that you enjoy and actually move as much as you can during the day. You know, there are more and more studies. I just saw one recently. I read something in the New York Times. It's not about going for a long 1-2 hour run. It's those 5-10 minute sort of episodes of moving your body that you get just as much, if not more, benefit from. So don't sit down at your desk for long periods. Get up and move around. You know, go out for lunch, go buy some lunch, go for a walk in the park. So move your body as much as you can. I think that is the key. I mean, obviously I go into much more detail in the book, but I think the underlying principle is just think of it as movement rather than exercise. And the more you move, the better. And just find something you like. The more you can do it outside, obviously also better for you, but just move your body.
Great, great tip. Okay, the fourth pillar. What do we do next?
Well, the fourth pillar is how to protect yourself from all the chemicals out there. You know, on a daily basis, we're exposed to thousands of chemicals, obviously in our food, but not only our food, in the water, in the air, you know, from the household cleaning products to all sorts of, you know, foul, you know, car fumes and that. But also to what you put on your skin, you know, just be as aware of what you put on your skin is what you put in your body, because, you know, the skin is very porous and a lot of these chemicals go straight into your bloodstream. And so, you know, my philosophy on skincare is you should be able to eat it, because it's basically absorbing it just like you would be eating food. So skincare products, I think, are extremely important. I always advise people to avoid fragrances because they have too many toxic chemicals in. So just be aware of, you know, what you drink. So water, try get a water filter, even if it's a, you know, you can get a tabletop Brita filter. A decent water filter is going to be helpful. And then finally food, just be aware of the chemicals in our food, the mercury in our fish. So try get wild fish if possible, or eat smaller fish. The chemicals and the antibiotics in factory farm meat. So if you're going to eat meat, try eat grass-fed and grass-finished meat, organic chicken. If possible, eat organic fruits and vegetables. If that becomes prohibitive price-wise, the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, a wonderful website, and they have a great list of the 12 or the 14 fruits and vegetables that have the most chemicals on and the ones that have the least chemicals on. So you just need to get educated and become aware and make these healthy choices. Because unfortunately, most of the default choices in our culture are unhealthy. So you really need to learn, become aware, and make these healthy choices.
You know, what I loved about your book also is that you actually give the sources of where you can go right on that page.
Yep.
You know, it's not like you got to look in the back of the book. It's right on the same page.
Yep.
That's cool.
Yeah, no, we try to make it as easy as possible for people. People don't have time. I mean, I see it in my practice. People just don't have time. And so the easier you can make it, the more chance there's going to be that patients are going to do what you tell them to do or read.
Yes. In my practice, I actually work with a lot of people for detoxification, because we are inundated with all these toxins, as you were talking about, in our skin and what we eat. Do you believe in detoxification?
Absolutely. I have a wonderful cleanse that I use all the time. Yeah, I'm a major believer in detoxification. And basically what I'm sure you do the same thing. It's about supporting your body's own detoxification system. So you obviously need to remove as many chemicals as you can that you're putting into your body. But you also need to try and remove or clear up the toxins that are made in your body, and especially in your digestive system. I mean, that's a huge source of toxicity and altered microbiome. So my idea of cleansing is not only removing or decreasing the amount of chemicals you're putting into or on your body, but also trying to decrease the amount of chemicals made in your gut in particular, and then supporting your body with the nutrients that your liver and your gut needs to function more optimally, because those are the main detoxification organs. And yeah, then I'm a big fan of infrared saunas as well, just to get someone sweating and sweat some of those toxins out.
Well, how often do you think a person should be detoxing?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, almost on a daily basis. I mean, it depends on their lifestyle, depends on what's going on with people. But sometimes I'm just giving nutrients to help support someone's detoxifications on a daily basis. So I use, for instance, some liver nutrients to help the liver, or glutathione to help the liver. I'm often using herbal antimicrobials to kill the bad guys in the gut. I'm using probiotics. So I see it as a more of an intense detox, you know, once or twice a year, sometimes even more, depends how someone's feeling. But I am usually supporting people's detoxification systems naturally during the year on an ongoing basis as well.
Mm, that's good to know. You know, one of your other pillars, which is unwinding, using all forms of breathing and meditative practices. And you find that obviously this is a big area. And some people are just not connected with their body to do such things. Do you give simple exercises that people can do day to day, even at your office, you know, in front of your computer?
Absolutely. So we give tips right throughout the book, simple tips to make it simple for people. And there are also some apps. If you know, there's Headspace, there's Calm. They're great apps that can teach you meditation. But You know, what I tell my patients all the time is if they're sitting at their computer and they're stressed out, the idea is to get out of your head. So while you're sitting now, if you're sitting and listening, feel your feet on the ground, feel your butt on the chair, maybe feel your back against the back of the chair. But try get out of your head and focus on your breath. So take deep, slow in-breaths and out-breaths, but try and feel your body, feel your butt on the chair, feel your feet on the ground. And as your mind drifts and you start going into your head and your thoughts go back to your body and start feeling your body again. So yeah, there's so many simple ways to teach people to relax.
I find that for me, you know, with breathing techniques, they work well, but I've even used laughing exercises that really just kind of like brings me back, you know, to balance. Just laughing out loud, even there's nothing funny about it, just laughing up to myself.
Yeah, and then one of my tips is all about laughter. Yeah, laughter has, you know, very similar effects on the body as any stress reduction technique. So yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of laughter.
That's great. Well, we got one more left. One more, the connecting portion.
Yeah, and so many people forget about this. This is obviously the least material aspect of our health, that people don't realize it, but it's connecting with oneself, connecting with one's family and community, which, you know, we're losing in this day and age, and connecting with the earth, you know, going for a walk in nature, honoring the seasons, sort of realizing that we as humans are microcosms of this macrocosm and our bodies are changing accordingly. But, you know, connecting with us, you know, having gratitude for what we have in life, being kind, having a pet, even connecting with a pet. So there's so many aspects of this, these non-tangible aspects of our health that can really make you feel good that people ignore.
Mm. There was one section that you mentioned about don't ever stop learning, connecting to your own self and the growth of yourself by not stopping in whatever it is that, you know, you pursue. Don't stop learning. I thought that was great too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's important, you know, just especially as we get older, it's really good for you to keep learning new things, you know, start new hobbies or whatever it is, you know. That's why it's good to be around young people. They keep you young and they keep you like wanting to learn more, and it's good. As we get older, I love these millennials. They're keeping me young and on my toes and keeping up with them. So it's all good. So yes, keep learning.
Yeah, you're right about the millennials. Boy, they are some force of power. I love it.
Me too.
That's great. My son is 23, and the things that he's going through and experiencing, wow. When I was 23, I was like, you know, I was scared and quiet and didn't do anything. And these young people, wow, I am so grateful to see and be able to witness that.
I love it. They're taking charge of their own health. They're questioning the establishment. It's really good. They're understanding that the medical system is not meeting their needs, so they're seeking alternatives. They want authenticity. I think it's just a wonderful generation. I'm all for the millennials.
Great. Oh, you know, before we leave, because we only got a couple more minutes, I'd really like to ask you, what is it something that you do every day? I mean, really, like, it's a true ritual habit that you do every day that you cannot live without because it's so ingrained now.
Right.
What do you do?
First thing I do every day when I get up is meditate for at least 20 minutes. And that, over the years, has become a habit. And it's probably the most important or the best habit I've ever taken up. I mean, I used to meditate on and off for years, but only when it became a habit. I'll never miss it. It's the first thing I'll do. When I occasionally miss it, then I'll find some time in the day to do it, but it's very, very rare that I miss it. So that's probably the most important thing I do, and that's probably where I've gotten the most bang for my buck, is that early morning meditation first thing. I also try always get some fresh air or some natural light when I'm usually in the morning too. I will always or almost always listen to music when I come home just to help chill out. And I always make sleep a priority. I try go to sleep, you know, usually about the same time every night. And even if I have arranged myself. You know, I'm just become this boring old man. I always want to go out. When I go out for dinner, we go out early because I like to be asleep by 10, but actually in bed by 9:30-ish. So the biggest thing probably would be the meditation every morning.
Wonderful lessons that we all can follow. And it's all written in your book, How to Be Well, The 6 Keys to a Happy and Healthy Life. Thank you so much, Dr. Lipman, for being on the Wellness for Life show. So appreciate all that you do. And your website is called bewell.com. You can find the book online, everywhere in the bookstores. Again, the book is called Be Well, The 6 Keys to a Happy and Healthy Life.
Yeah, the book's How to Be Well.
Oh, excuse me. How to Be Well. Yes.
No problem.
Thank you. I thought I said How to Be Well. But your website is called Be Well.
My website is bewell.com. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
Thanks,
How to Be
Suzanne.
Well. You bet. You bet, Dr. Lipman. Thanks for being. Thank you. Oh, gosh. It was awesome. If everyone listening to this show, if you really loved it, let's go ahead and go to iTunes and give us an awesome raving review. For Dr. Lipman and for the Wellness for Life show. Thank you so much. Do connect with me on Instagram and Facebook. And if you need any guidance and want to dig deeper into your chronic health issues, I also do phone and Skype consultations with people all around the world. And just go to my website, drsuzanne.com, for my contact info. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy and enthusiasm and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.